Good evening, everyone. So lovely to see you. I hope you've had a great week. Are you enjoying the summer? Too, I hope you're enjoying this whole series on Proverbs. There's so much in Proverbs, we could spend the whole year looking at it. But as you know, in the morning we look at some Proverbs. The evening we're looking at a few more. And if I could have my slide up. We are looking at avoiding stupidity. And the proverb is Proverbs 12, verse 1. You may want to turn there, and the verse will appear also on the screen. So here is our proverbial wisdom for tonight. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Now, I'm guessing we all want to avoid stupidity. And it says about the importance of a loving discipline. Would you say that describes you, that you love the thought of being disciplined? For me, as I read that, I could remember growing up, and if it was being grounded or told off by my father, it wasn't something I'd say in my childhood when I think about the fondest memories. It was when I was disciplined. It's not something you really look forward to. Maybe it conjures in your mind being told off, that sort of discipline. But you can read this verse really as saying, whoever loves, because another translation says, whoever loves instruction, feedback, or correction. And of course, correction, because we know, as it mirrors in the later phrase, whoever hates correction is stupid. So this is about the love of correction, the love of receiving feedback, getting instruction with that opportunity to grow and mature. Now again, who loves getting feedback? Now put it in a context, maybe a work situation, when you have that 3-month probation period and you've got to go and see someone. Does that fill you with glee? You have an appraisal? Feel really excited about seeing your boss, your line manager? And maybe if you're preparing for that, generally, you're probably feeling, how can I think of what this person might say? And how can I come up with loads of excuses about how it's that person's fault or why I wasn't able to do that? Receiving feedback isn't very easy in a work context. And discipline, instruction, feedback may be something that can be quite hard hitting. It may not be something that we naturally all crave, all want. But of course, it is something we all need. Why? I guess most of us love learning from experts. Do you love just sitting and listening to someone who really knows their stuff? Someone who can really pass on something you really want to know about, an expert in the field. I was thinking about someone like Nick Lund. If you've ever heard Nick Lund speak, great Bible teacher, and he does have a doctorate in Hebrew. So if I want to know some Hebrew words, I'd probably go to him. You know, if he was speaking about something I really wanted to hear about, I wouldn't be sitting in front of him with my arms crossed, yawning, thinking, I know all this. Now, I'd be sitting there with a notepad, thinking, you know, teach me, show me, I want to learn from you. And you can think about an area that you are really interested in, and if you got to meet maybe your hero who could just deliver all the wonderful information they know about a subject. And if we just turn that onto our lives a bit, there is nothing in your entire life of which you are an expert of. When it comes to how you handle your emotions, how you use your speech, a gift that you have that you seek to use, a character trait. There is nothing of which you stand at the very top of Everest, metaphorically, and you can just kind of look down at other people and think, no, at this, I know it all. I'm just looking down at you, but I need no input from anyone else, because I am the most patient person ever. I am just kindness embodied. There's nothing in your life that you can think you've got 100% of it. This is why, of course, we talk about having blind spots, because the precisely things we can't see, we need others. That's why Jesus talks about, you know, quite comically, he talks about a speck in someone else's eye. And then really, if I had a better prompt, you know, a plank in our own eye, and just the complete comedy and stupidity and arrogance of the person who thinks, I can point out things, I can dish it out, but I don't really need any input into my life. We are called disciples. That's the most popular name given, really, to describe Christians in the New Testament. The word Christian in the New Testament, I think, occurs about 2 or 3 times, but the word disciple occurs nearly 300 times. Does anyone know, do we know what disciple means? Anyone know what disciple means? To be a disciple. Learner, yeah? Student, apprentice. If we go to the next slide, this great quote from Leon Morris, who says this: discipleship is not static, but a growing and developing way of life. Always the true disciple is becoming more fully a disciple. I'll read that again. Discipleship is not static, but a growing and developing way of life. Always the true disciple is becoming more fully a disciple. So in a work life, you have your continual professional development, your CPD. And so it is for us as Christians, that most important name, disciple, we always have a continual discipleship development, as it were. The process of knowing the importance of changing habits. Now, what happens if we can't take criticism? We go to the next slide. If we become like this guy who just can't take receiving any feedback in any form, what would happen if, when someone goes to give us a bit of advice, challenge us on something, speak into an area of our life, what would happen if we just never took any criticism at all? Well, in the if we just go back to the verse, Proverbs 12:1, that word, when it says stupid, if you look at the King James Version, the good old classic King James Version, that uses not the word stupid, but it says brute. And brute can really be described as how you might talk about someone being brutish, or someone who resembles the characteristics in terms of how they react as like an animal. So whoever cannot receive, whoever hates correction, is brute, is brutish, or is like an animal. They're uncivilized. They're caught. They might think they know everything, but their reaction just shows it all. They lash out. They bite out whenever they're given a bit of feedback. They react badly. Rather than receiving any correction, perhaps you bristle a bit. Now, how do we receive criticism, realizing none of us all want to act like brutes and like animals? Well, I was just wondering, maybe for a couple of minutes, maybe you feel you're really good at receiving feedback. You're not hypersensitive in any way. You don't mind if somebody shares something with you. You take it all on board. Be honest with the person who you... But how do you deal with criticism? I just want to... you to share for a couple minutes with the person, a couple people near you. How do you deal with criticism? What is a good, godly way? Have you got any advice about maybe next week or this coming week, if you receive any feedback that may be seen as negative, how do you deal? How do you cope with criticism? I'll give you 2 minutes. Okay, if we could just come back together. So how do we deal with criticism? Do we dismiss it all because that person's nasty and horrible and they're not very nice, so just ignore them? Or do we take it such to heart that we just go around with our face to the floor and think, oh, what do we do? What do we do with criticism? How do we deal with it in a good, helpful way? Sheila, I doubt you've ever been criticised with that smile.
I think sometimes when you're criticised, that you try to make excuses of why, or perhaps if you really feel it's necessary, you would go away and think, well, why? What have I done? And how can I make it better? So that's two different ways, really.
Okay. So being a bit reflective there. Wonderful. What were you saying?
I said it's about knowing yourself as well, because you might get criticism that's good for you, and it's deciphering with criticism that might actually be bad for you as well. So if you know yourself and you're aligned with God, then God will help you make the correct judgments and then take things on board that are actually good for you.
That's great. So going away and doing some a bit of self-examination. Yeah. And trying to allow that maybe to coach you a bit and guide you, that person. Yeah, that's good. Anyone over here?
I was saying that it depends how it's packaged and who the person and how they present it makes it more or less palatable.
Okay. Yeah, there's no one who can present criticism to me that, yeah, carries much weight, really. There we are. But brilliant, yeah, okay. We will come to that, Anne. Good point as well. So, really, I've just got here a few things. If we go to... Yeah, that's the one. Coping with criticism. So here's a few things we can do to work with as we seek to be those that, as Proverbs says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. So how we can actually get instruction, discern, be more, do good self-examination in a way that we grow and we mature rather than become foolish, full of ourselves, and arrogant. So a few things. One is we must always come with a posture of humility. So James 4:6 says, God opposes... God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So that is so important that we have that awareness, as it is so easy and seems so obvious to look and to point, that we always look first of all at ourselves. And we do, as Mark was saying, that self-examination where we know ourselves, but do we really know ourselves? And maybe having someone who we humbly invite into our life. We even say we give them free rein to invade our life and to speak truthfully to us. Because otherwise we're just surrounded by people that say yes and we're brilliant and give us that flattery. So really coming with humility when we receive any feedback, regardless of discerning whether it's good or bad, just that sense of humility. And that really leads to the second thing, that we come with a listening ear, with attentiveness and respect. I wonder if you've ever thought that every criticism, however hard it may be, is an opportunity to let our Christ-like character shine by showing love and patience, even if that person is attacking us. The fact that we would show grace and kindness is a way of being a powerful witness. And then, of course, if comments are spot on, if actually we go away and we do feel taken down a peg or two, but actually that was helpful, then God will use it to change our hearts and make us more Christ-like. So we need to, James says, to be slow to anger, not quick to shout at someone, But slow to anger, slow to speak, slow, quick to listen, slow to become angry. I've probably got them in complete wrong order. But that is what we do in life, don't we? We're quick to get angry and explode. And then we realise we probably should have listened. Very quick to get angry, quick to speak our mind, get it on social media, and we do very little listening. But the Christian comes humbly. They realise that they have something to learn from someone else, and they listen attentively, taking it on board and thinking, how can God maybe use this person to coach me, even if they're presenting it in a way that I'm finding quite hard? And then, of course, with prayer. And there's that phrase, and I think you were alluding to this, Anne, the importance when you receive some feedback from someone, some guidance, that you need to know the source. Where is it coming from? Does that person tend to just be negative all the time? And if so, perhaps it's a case of shaking it off and praying for that person. But maybe there's stuff that's hard and hard-hitting, but actually as we take it to prayer, the Holy Spirit will give us gentle conviction and we'll seek to be changed. Proverbs 27:6. One of my favourite proverbs. I'm sure many of us love this one, though we don't like to receive it. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I wonder, what would you prefer? Wounds, hard truths to hear that can feel hard and hurtful, but in time we'll realize it's been almost like surgery that's been good for us and will heal us. Or would you prefer constant flattery, which is false, where we're always praised and never challenged, and actually we grow in arrogance, we have a high estimation of ourselves, and we ultimately become a fool because we're full of it, we're full of ourselves, and we're never humble in learning. So I just want to invite up Chris and Isaac, and just as they come up, a few things for us to think about in terms of responding. So if we go to the next slide. As I was just preparing some thoughts on this, just thinking about maybe three attitudes we may, three things he might be on our mind at the moment. So we may be someone who is quite hypersensitive. We realize that when someone has given us feedback in a discipleship context or any context, we've reacted with anger. And we know we need help with that emotional intelligence, that we have, lacked maturity. And maybe that's you, and during this next block of worship or respond, you just want to spend some time speaking to God about that. Maybe even want to receive some prayer from the prayer team. Second thing, thinking about welcoming invasion. So maybe you need to think about accountability in your life. The whole thing of iron sharpening iron, and whether or not you really have someone in your life who is speaking into your life. I'm a married man, and that's a massive blessing. And it means I've always got someone by my side who's very happy to give feedback to me a lot of the time. But of course, some of you aren't in that position, but do you have friends? Do you have family members that you know will speak truth in love to you all the time? So do you have that welcomed invasion in your life? So maybe just an opportunity to think about that. We're running this workshop on Wednesday called Disciple Making Disciples. And that's an opportunity to look at what it means to have one-to-one discipleship. Many of us have been deprived from that. We've never really had a mentor in our life. We've had some interesting people that have given us a bit of teaching here and there. We've been a part of a group discipleship. We've never really said to someone, let's sit down, let's talk about my finances, let's talk about my relationships, let's talk about all the things going on in my life, and really allowed for good challenge. And then lastly, don't be a wasted resource. Some of you, you are incredibly wise and you are incredibly underused in terms of helping to speak truth to others. And I just wonder if maybe during this time of responding, you might want to be thinking about how can God be using you to disciple someone else, to help mentor someone, maybe of a younger generation. So let's close our eyes and let's just pray about some of those things. And just for that sheer desire to know the truth, wherever it may be found, because we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this opportunity just to ponder with my brothers and sisters here what it could mean to live wisely. Lord, we're in a culture that is hypersensitive, that can't deal with feedback, where we often crown ourselves, and because of, in the name of things like self-esteem, we don't want anyone to be upset. And the reality, Lord, is truth is so important. And we thank you, Lord, that you involve people, very broken people, who can share things with us that can help us, that can instruct us. And so we just pray, Lord, if we are at the top of the mountain, that we would come down, we would spend time with others, we would invite people to invade our lives as we seek to be your disciple and as we seek to make disciples. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.